Amen.
Lawrence Tuning. My. Constant thread, God has always been faithful. His anchor has held me. Thank you, Lawrence. Always a blessing. Open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter. I want to share a very familiar story in Scripture and look at it for a few minutes. And then I believe it would be great if our praise and worship team could come back and close with us worshiping in another song before we leave. We can never give God too much worship. In Luke chapter 18, this is the story of the rich young ruler, beginning at verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus said, now an interesting answer to that question. Jesus gives an interesting comeback. He says, "Why do you call me good?" And then Jesus said to him, "No one is good but one, and that is God." Now, I don't get tripped up by that. I simply interpret it like this. Jesus was saying to him, either I'm good or I'm not God. Either I'm good or I'm not God, because God is good. When? So the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 20, Jesus said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Oh my, do you know what it feels like for something to be missing? Jesus said, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse 23, but when the rich young ruler heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, all or nothing. It's the story of a rich young ruler. This is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. It would be easy for us to feel sorry for the rich young ruler, thinking that Jesus was asking him to give up too much. And we focus on what Jesus asked this rich young ruler to give up, and we fail to consider all that Jesus offered him in exchange. Jesus offered this rich young ruler the opportunity of a lifetime to join him, to become an intern of the Creator of the universe. This rich young ruler, if he could have walked away from his possessions and made a commitment to follow Jesus, he would have had box seats at every sermon. He would have been able to hang out backstage with Jesus. He would have been able to go camping, hiking, sailing, fishing with Jesus. He would have been an eyewitness to every miracle Jesus performed. It would have been a 3-year apprenticeship that only a handful of people in the history of the world had ever experienced. So we should not feel sorry for what he was asked to give up. He's the one who missed his opportunity that was very precious. What Jesus asked him to give up was nothing compared to everything he would have received in return. That's the same with us. Whatever it cost us to follow Christ, and there is a sacrifice. I know I'm standing in Christian America, and we have Americanized the gospel to the point that we think it's cheap. It's easy. But the truth is, there is a sacrifice, and we're required to give up a lot, and in some cases, everything. And this rich young ruler was sorrowful because he was very rich. I heard T.D. Jakes preach years ago, and I'll never forget the title to his sermon. The title to his sermon is, "If you can give it up, you can have it all." I've seen a few people possessed by demons. But I've seen a whole lot more people possessed by their possessions than they are possessed by demons. Now let's notice about this rich young ruler. First of all, let's make it clear, he was not a bad man. He was not corrupt. He was not immoral. He was not unethical. In fact, to the contrary, he had kept the law of Moses. When Jesus said, "You know the commandments Moses gave us," and then he listed them, this rich young ruler could honestly reply, "I've kept all of those laws from a child." Now, I don't know many of us that can say that. I don't think I could. I'd have to take an inventory. One by one. But this rich young ruler was a good man. He had kept the law of Moses. He had bragging rights that he had kept the law. He had not broken the law. And yet that was not good enough. It's possible to follow the rules without following Christ. That's the story in this message here. The call today is for full consecration. Those who are on the border, those who have walked an aisle, prayed a sinner's prayer, and yet have not allowed the Spirit of God to reproduce the life of Christ in us like He wants to. Those of us who want to hold on to something and not let go of it, not completely abandon everything in our old life. The price is just too much to pay, we think. That's what this man said. But he was following the rules, but was disqualified from following Jesus. Consecration is more, listen to me, more than going to church once or twice a week. Being fully committed as a follower of Christ is more than having daily devotions, keeping the Ten Commandments, giving God your tithe. More than that. When you pay your tithe, you've not given anything. When you don't pay your tithe, you are robbing God of what is His. That's not in my notes. I don't know why that came out of my mouth. I had no intention for that to come out of my mouth. Somebody must need it. Being fully committed and consecrated as a Christ follower is more than raising your hands in worship. It's more than going on a mission trip. Being fully consecrated to the Lord is more than conforming to a moral or an ethic code. The rich young ruler did that, and yet that was not enough. Now, I'm not trying to say we need to work our way to God or work our way to salvation. You know better than that. Religion is spelled do. The gospel is spelled done. 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 So we're not trying to earn our righteousness. We know better than that. But there is a commitment, full consecration that Jesus expects out of every follower. And if it cost us everything, we must be willing to lay it all down. It demands full devotion. It requires that we give God veto power in our life. When self wants to do something, God has the right to veto it if we're fully submitted, yielded, consecrated, and devoted to Him as a follower. The gospel costs nothing, but it demands everything. I'll tell you, the more Christians are persecuted, the purer they are in devotion and consecration. Brenda and I lived in what had been the Soviet Union for many years. Communism ruled. There was no freedom to preach the gospel. And then when that ended, people there were so hungry. And a famous underground Russian pastor tells the story that when another American pastor went over and met with them and ministered in their small underground house church, the American pastor said, "I'm going to pray that no more persecution would come to your followers, to the members of your house church." And the Russian pastor said, "Please don't pray that. It's the persecution that has kept us powerful." And here in America, we're not persecuted. Now, some of you may want to think you are, but go to other countries. And you'll see that we don't know what persecution is. We don't know what sacrifice for following Christ is. We've cheapened the gospel by thinking we can buy in without selling out. It's a cheap version. Oh, I'm preaching good this morning. And I'm about through. Here's what Jesus requires. And now, we've been so blessed in our nation. I'm not against America. All for it. So grateful, so thankful of all the places I've ever been. I'm glad to get back home. There's no place like home, and I'm grateful. But there is a chance that we will live to see the day when something changes, and we as Christians in this nation know what it is to suffer persecution. And by then, before that day comes, we need to have established full commitment to the Lord. Because if we're weak in that day, we will fail. And to be a fully committed Christian, someone Jesus would claim as a follower of His, faith requires that we push all of our chips to the middle of the table. How many gamblers we got in here? Anybody ever sat around a table with poker chips? And you know, you play the little bluff game. But then when you're decided that I'm going to risk it all, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to lay it all on the line. You push your chip, all of them, right in the middle of the table. It's like, live or die now. Now or never. All or nothing. Sink or swim. I'm risking it all. I'm willing to lose everything for the chance that I can follow Him. I'm saying you're not going to leave where you were when you got here. You're going to take a step closer to Him. Or else you're going to take a step further away from Him. You do have a choice to make this morning. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. He said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me." Now that's the word right there. The King James Version says, "Deny yourself." You know that's the hardest thing to do. I heard one great lady preacher. How many believe in lady preachers? Well, at least the lady should say it. Amen. This one lady preacher, and she was anointed, and she was a little heavy. It's all right. She's not here. She's not here this morning. She was a little heavy, and in the middle of her sermon, she just threw this line out there. I was there when it happened. I'll never forget. She said, she said, I wish there was a demon of chocolate so somebody could cast this out. I have met a few demon-possessed people, for real. Pastor Mike, you've met a few demon-possessed people. But I've met a whole lot more people who were possessed by self. It's the flesh. Don't want to push all the chips to the middle of the table. Want to hold on to something for self. He said, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. We have an allergic reaction to the word deny because we live in the lap of luxury. I cannot keep up. As soon as I figure out one new technological gadget, as soon as I get it down, it's obsolete and there's something new coming out. And, you know, I just can't keep up with the luxury we have these days. I'm grateful to be alive in this day, though. Now, yesterday, Brenda and I went to a three-hour drive up to a beautiful wedding, Grayson and Chelsea. And I told her before we left, I said, go Google Map and let's get some directions on how to get there. Well, she printed out three different, Google gave us three different ways to get there. And that was more confusing. So I said when we got in the car, just turn on your phone to GPS and let them speak to us. And that was a totally different way. There was four different ways to get there. But I think GPS took us through the most beautiful scenery. It was just, but you know, when it comes to God, there's only one way. Only one way to God. I'm sick of hearing people on TV, whether it's Oprah or whoever. And I like Oprah. Let's pray for Oprah. She's a good girl. Oprah got a good heart. Oprah, blessed little girl. God had blessed Oprah. I love Oprah. But I have heard her say, there are 1,000 different ways to get to the truth. No, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He said, no one gets there outside of me. Now, either we're all in or it's nothing. All in or nothing. Self must be disowned and in some cases dethroned. I heard a story that was inspiring to me because we're a church filled with missionaries. All of you, if you're in this church, you're a missionary. Most of you have your passports. You know, if you don't believe in world missions, you're in the wrong church. It's the Great Commission, go into all the world. Jesus, that was the last thing he said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. So that was the last thing he said on earth, and so we take it seriously. And but I heard a great story. Miles, you've probably heard of one-way missionaries. That was a phrase I discovered recently, and you can Google it, and there's some things about it, but the one-way missionaries were led by a missionary named A.W. Milne, M-I-L-N-E, was his last name. He lived more than a century ago, and he felt the call of God to what was then the New Hebrides Island. I think now it's a part of Malaysia. The island was known to be headhunters. This missionary, A.W. Milne, knew that every other missionary that had ever gone to that island before had been killed. It was a tribe of headhunters on that island. And still he felt the call to go. And he knew if he took it seriously and obeyed the call of God, he would never come back home. And so he was known as a one-way missionary. He and a few people who pushed all their chips to the middle of the table and said, count me all in. Here's what they did. This missionary and the few that were as committed as he was packed what few earthly belongings they had into their coffin. They loaded their coffin on the ship. They said goodbye to their family and friends, said, we will never see you again on this earth. We'll see you in heaven. We're going to obey God. We only have a one-way ticket. We will never come back. We're this fully committed to the call of God on our lives. We will see you next time in heaven. They packed their coffins, boarded the ship, and they sailed to this island. And this missionary, you see this picture on the screen, A.W. Milne, he loved those tribal people. He loved them. He preached the gospel to them. He converted them. And for 35 years, he lived there and labored in ministry among those people and converted them to Christianity. And when he died, one of the tribesmen that he had converted to the Lord wrote this on his tombstone: when he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Isn't that wonderful? The epitaph of a man who was fully committed. We would do well in blessed Christian America, as we call it, every now and then to go back and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you think the gospel is cheap and you can be half committed, read that book again. We'll start with the disciples, those who were alive in the day of Jesus. James was the first of the apostles to be martyred. It cost him his life. To follow Christ, it cost him his life. That began the bloodbath. Luke, another disciple, was hung from an olive tree in Greece. Doubting Thomas, you remember him. He was pierced with a spear and then burned alive in India. Another disciple, Philip, was tortured and crucified because while he was preaching, the wife of the proconsul was converted to Christianity. And so the government gave him capital punishment. And while he was being crucified, he preached on his cross. Matthew, another disciple, was stabbed in the back. Bartholomew was flogged to death in what is now Armenia. Another disciple by the name of James was thrown off the highest pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, and he survived a more than 100-foot fall. And so when he survived the fall, he was clubbed to death in the streets of Jerusalem by a mob. Simon the Zealot was crucified. Matthias, who had taken Judas's place as a disciple, was stoned to death, and after he was stoned to death, they cut his head off. He was beheaded after being stoned to death. Peter, the great apostle, was crucified. They said, we're going to crucify you. And he said, I'm not even worthy to die like my Lord did. If you're going to crucify me, turn me upside down. He was crucified upside down at his own request. John the Beloved is the only one of the original disciples that died of natural causes, and that's because he survived his own execution. They threw him into a boiling vat of oil, and he survived that. And so when he survived that, which would have been almost certain death, but he came out unscathed, then the government banished him, put him in exile to the island of Patmos. Those are just a few people who sacrificed everything to be a follower of the Lord. Now I'm about to close for real. Just as God's people were stepping into the promised land. Now, they had heard about it. They had been promised. They had seen it from a distance. They had sent spies in, brought back reports. Oh, they were at the border now. Moses had brought them all the way to the border. And then now Joshua stepped in and led them into the promises. But just before God let them into the land he had promised them, here's what Joshua said to his people in Joshua 3:5. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow God will do amazing things among you. Anytime God is about to do something amazing in our lives, he calls us to consecrate ourselves. The word of the Lord is calling for us corporately and for each of us individually to yield to full devotion. Consecration to the Lord, and it's for a good reason. It's because he is about to do something amazing in our lives. And before anything precious can be poured into a vessel, everything stale, stagnant in it has to be emptied out. It's purification, consecration, it's full surrender. God is about to do something amazing in your life, and we will miss it if we're not consecrated. In the early 1500s, an explorer, an adventurer, he became known as a conquistador. His name was Hernan Cortez. He was from Spain. He's in the history books. And he left Spain in search of new lands. And he had heard there were new lands. He wound up conquering most of Mexico and then a large part of the South American continent. Now with him, when he left Spain, this was in the early 1500s, he took 600 soldiers or sailors with him on 11 ships. Listen to how committed he was to his mission. When he landed those 11 ships on the coast of South America, he was so committed to his purpose that he said to his sailors, "You see those 11 ships right there that got us here? Burn them." Excuse me while I laugh. Burn them. Imagine. What, you mean we're not going back? No, burn the ships. This is it. This is what we were looking for. This is what we found. This is the reason we left home and came here. We have a mission to do here. We're going to conquer and Christianize these people here. Burn the ships. We will never go back. Burn the ships. We will never go back. That was his order to his crew. Burn the ships. We're not retreating. When the fighting gets tough, we're going to stay, fight, and win. Burn the ships. We will not go back. And sometimes failure, while we're on this journey following Christ, failure comes many times after we resort to plan B, simply because plan A has become too difficult or too costly. But Cortez and his soldiers were that committed. God has led you to a place. Burn the ships. Burn the ship of past failure. Burn the ship of guilt and shame. Burn the ship of self and sin. Burn the ship. You're in the promised land. Don't retreat. Don't go back. Stay put. Stay faithful and fully committed. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stands. Praise and worship team, will you come and just close our service, leading us in a song?